Bob, I'm just going to use the lectern mic.
Thank you.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name. And because you believe, others will know that I live. 10 o'clock this morning, the phone rang. It was David. So you can tell how much notice I've had to prepare. So this won't be a long sermon. But hopefully, it will speak to each one of us. The story that we've just heard read is quite a familiar one. And there's just a couple of things that I just wanted to point out before I go on to what I wanted to say. So it's normal. We left the story, didn't we, with Jesus dying on the cross on Good Friday. And it's normal when the bodies are taken down from the cross, when they've been crucified, for them to be thrown on the rubbish tip, where there was a constant fire going on. And all the rubbish outside Jerusalem would be thrown into this pit. And this is where they would throw the bodies of crucified criminals. But somebody interceded. A man by the name of Joseph. A rich man from Arimathea. A man with influence. A man who knew Pilate. And he himself, it says, had become a disciple of Jesus. In verse 58, it says, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And that meant that Jesus could be buried respectfully in the tomb that he'd had cut out of the rock for himself. His own tomb that had never been used before. And the big stone is rolled in front of the entrance. And this isn't enough for the Pharisees. This isn't enough. They've killed Jesus. They want to stamp him out completely. He was buried, but they wanted all memory of him to be forgotten. They wanted the tomb sealed and guarded so that the body couldn't be taken away. So that the disciples couldn't say Jesus had risen from the dead. And so the guard is placed and they become witnesses to this strange event of the earthquake and the tomb being opened, the stone rolling away, and the heavenly beings sitting on the stone. So frightening for these guards that they fall down like they're dead. When Joseph claimed the body, two women followed at a distance and watched where he was laid. It was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And we can be pretty sure that this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she's mentioned earlier as Mary, the mother of Jesus. So it doesn't seem that she would have been called the other Mary here. So these two women had watched where Jesus was laid. And then they went off to rest for the Sabbath as they're required to. And come back early in the morning of the third day. They bring with them the spices and the perfumes that they would need to anoint the body. And they witness this dramatic opening of the tomb. They witness the heavenly being whose appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. And this angel speaks to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell the disciples. He is risen from the dead and going ahead of you into Galilee." And then suddenly Jesus is there in front of them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So just for a moment, I want you to try and imagine yourself in this story. One of the witnesses, maybe being Joseph of Arimathea, being bold enough to go and ask Pilate for the body of Jesus. What would that feel like? What if you were one of the women that followed nervously at a distance, not sure what they were going to do with Jesus? And then noting the place where he was laid, going back and getting everything ready to go return when as soon as they could, which wouldn't be the next day because it was the Sabbath, but the following day, early in the morning. What would it be like to see that amazing being standing at the tomb, seeing the guards fall down? Hearing that news, he's not here, he's risen. This is the gospel. This is salvation. The fact that Jesus died on the cross is a bargain that God makes with us. He says, "My son didn't deserve to die. He didn't do anything wrong. He committed no sin of his own that required him to pay the penalty." In Romans 6 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We each of us in some way have sinned. We've each gone our own way. We've each been disobedient in the past. And God says to us, if you accept that Jesus bore your punishment for your sins, then I will forgive you those sins. So in other words, we kind of swap what we've done wrong. We give that to Jesus, who suffered and died for that. And we receive what he deserves. And that is an amazing thing. We receive the holiness, the goodness, the righteousness of Jesus in place of our sin. And this is not automatic. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to prove to God that we're worthy of it, because we're not. We'll never be worthy of it. This is God's love gift to you. But you have to accept it. And that's called repentance. It's not just about being sorry for the things that we've done wrong. It's about that willingness to try to turn away from all that is we know to be wrong and to follow Jesus. To try to live the way that God wants us to live and not our own way. I know many of you will have prayed a prayer accepting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Some of you will have grown up in church knowing that this is true. And you may not be able to put a finger on a date when you became a Christian, but you know that you are. You know that you're saved. You know that your sins are paid for, that you have received that gift of eternal life. You have that forgiveness, that love, that mercy that God offers us if we accept that Jesus died for our sins. And this is the amazing story of Easter. This is why we remember. That real effort to try and stamp out Jesus' memory 2,000 years later, we're still having a celebration in his memory. People were trying to contain God. They were trying to stop God being God. And you can't. Now, he's not going to force you to follow him. He's not going to force you to live his way. But he offers you this free gift. To swap the punishment that you deserve, death, for eternal life, if we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. Have you made that prayer? Do you know that's true for you personally? Have you got a relationship with the Heavenly Father? Are you growing in faith? We've sung some wonderful songs this morning, songs of real faith. Are these songs that you can sing wholeheartedly, knowing that Jesus lives, bringing us new hope in eternal life, forgiveness, love, mercy are all for us, but only if we accept that Jesus died for us. Amen. Sorry, it was so